The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my
Welcome back. And when we went to break, we were talking about how Zach Wilson is this sort of young, small school guy going to the Big Apple, going to be on the biggest of stage. Could he handle it? What will it
at
be
the
like
age of 13.
For Zach Wilson, who looks like he's 13? But now the question is, can his mom handle it? Because she has garnered a lot of attention. Lisa Wilson has become a social media fan because, well, by all accounts, she is a very attractive woman.
Oh, she's adorable. She's great. And she loves this. Are you kidding?
She's enjoying her celebrity.
Yes.
She's written it up.
She's embracing it, as she should. Why
her
not?
Her followers have exponentially grown. Now, when you see the two of them together, Zach, of course, looks very young, but he's, what, 22? She looks like she's 22. They look like they could be brother and sister, or dare I say husband and wife.
Right. I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
But
yeah,
it crossed your mind.
We got to be careful in the Mormon culture. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when you look at her and you look at him and they are so similar in appearance, here's the other penetrating question. Which one is prettier? Because
he's beautiful.
He's a pretty boy.
He's a Zac Efron type of look.
Yes, like, he is.
You know, the name travels with the look, I guess.
Yeah.
Zac Efron, Zach Wilson, hand in hand kind of thing. And she fits right in there. High School Musical, here we come. She looks like she could be in High School Musical. Amazing. It's mother of six kids.
Mother of six. And yet she's doing all things to stay in great shape. She's sort of a fitness guru, is
right,
she not?
Right. And she shows that on her Instagram, and good for her. I mean, wow. Hashtag mom goals. And she does say she's married to Shrek. I would love to uncover that. So I haven't looked up Zach Wilson's dad, but that'll be my next search.
That's coming soon. All right, Zach Wilson coming soon to the New York Jets. When we come back,
rookie camp.
Yeah, we're gonna look at the big five rookie quarterbacks, and we're gonna ask, who will start right away? Trevor and Zach presumably start day one, but what about the others? The other three, maybe even Davis Mills. Who will get a start and when will they get a chance to start in the NFL? That up more when we return to the Sports Map Radio Network.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I do want to tell you about Friol Deep Penetrating Oil. Friol Deep Penetrating Oil is used for so many things. It addresses rusted nuts and bolts.
We're talking about cars, right?
Fuel tank removal, seized engines. Well, really, yes, of course, auto, but all things mechanical. It's industrial strength Friol. It spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts, and it frees them up with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Friol is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone silicone free. After you give deep penetrating oil a try, we hope you'll find yourself pleased with the performance. Go and find it on the shelves at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa Auto Parts, or at select Walmart stores. That's Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. You're
free
in.
Free for all for Free All. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, when we went to break, well, I want to come back to the draft. You know, it was so funny because the thing about the draft is, I don't know, it was several seasons ago when people started booing Roger Goodell when he would come out onto the stage. And this year, true to form, new city, different fans in the room, Cleveland, they booed him right away. But now he seems to embrace it. I mean, he was waving his hands to say, I can't hear you. I want more boos. And so what seemed like a shaming moment for him has now become his signature crowd call.
When you realize it's not going away, you just embrace it as love.
And so what happened on social media is there was this feeling that because he's embracing it now, it's not as satisfying
exactly.
to all of
That's
us.
That's the psychology. That it's brilliant on Roger's part, I got to tell you.
Now, I loved booing him. It was just part of the fandom. But now when he's all there, hey, come give it to me. I don't know. I don't seem to enjoy it nearly as much.
Yeah, well, it was getting stale.
Yeah.
Like when it first happened, it was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're booing the commissioner. It was funny and all that. And now it's just stale. I mean, NFL fans are creative. Let's get something new.
All right. We'll move on from that one. There were five quarterbacks taken in the first round. And it is intriguing to think when they will finally start a game. Trevor and Zach, number one and two overall, likely to start week one. And you've got to figure that the Jaguars and the Jets are going to go with their guys. They made this big investment.
Well, they're basement dwellers. And they're basement dwellers because they didn't have a quarterback that could get them out of there.
Hey, Jaguars have Gardner Minshew, someone whom you've been very, very sympathetic to over the years.
Yes, I have. I'm all about the hair. And the Jaguars stayed true to their hair and their harem.
They got him.
So there we go.
Yeah, I might have thought Minshew could be a nice bridge quarterback somewhere, but not for Trevor Lawrence.
Well, you
got to put
Minshew
Lawrence on the field.
Green Bay.
Yeah, Minshew and Green Bay. Look, the Packers need to get some other quarterbacks in camp.
Yeah, because, you know, have you taken a look at the Packers' depth chart? It's really interesting. They've got, obviously, at the QB position, Rodgers is number one.
Yep.
There is nothing at number two. And Jordan Love is number three on their depth chart.
He got beat out by the second-string quarterback, right?
Called the Invisible Man. Kind of interesting. So that tells me Jordan Love is not ready, which brings about another point of, you know, this is why I stick with my it's all about Shailene theory, because
Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend,
yeah, well,
fiance, and they need to be together, and she's in L.A. You still see that's the reason.
She's not going to Green Bay.
No.
She's like, are you out of your mind? I'm an actress based in L.A. I am not spending my 6 months, and 6 or 9 months, and especially the winter, in Green Bay. No, not happening. And he's saying, I got you, girl, so watch me get out of here. But what I would say is that the fuss about Jordan Love, I can see where, yes, he felt he was they weren't transparent. The organization wasn't transparent for him. However, there is no threat of Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love hasn't even sniffed the field. Jordan Love isn't even listed. There is a blank number two on the Packers depth chart. So that being a threat to Aaron Rodgers is a no.
Yeah, it would be a strange insecurity for the MVP of the league to be worrying about Jordan Love at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, I digress.
But they do need to go find somebody else. And there really aren't a lot of other quarterbacks just floating around out there.
Well, Deshaun Watson, maybe.
Yeah, well, there may be that big trade to come. But just to round out and run practices, they're going to have to go get some kind of journeyman quarterback, some kind of undrafted rookie out of college. It's a really thin depth chart for the Packers when you remove Aaron Rodgers from the top of it.
Which is a little crazy.
But going back to these five rookie quarterbacks, Trevor and Zach starting on day one, then you've got the other three, and the question on the table, of course, is when will those other three get the opportunity to start a game in the NFL? And we can look at each situation. I mean, Justin Fields may be the next best quarterback taken. Others would argue Trey Lance, but let's talk Justin Fields for a minute. He walks into a quarterback room that includes two pretty good veterans, savvy veterans, good bridge quarterbacks in Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. So if the Packers are short on depth, the Bears have three quarterbacks in that room. And Justin Fields will presumably wait a few games behind an Andy Dalton, who is the proclaimed starter at this point.
I mean, I think what the Bears can hope for. I love their draft. I think what they can hope for is a Kansas City situation
mm-hmm.
where Andy Dalton does a good job
because
he's got more weapons than he had in Cincinnati. He does a good enough job that they can bring Justin Fields up, like at least get him familiar with the system and the speed of the NFL and all of that. I don't know that that's going to happen, but possibly.
Well, do you see the same point in San Francisco, the 49ers? There's Jimmy G. He could be the Alex Smith to the apparent Patrick Mahomes, Trey Lance. They do have a really good bridge quarterback in Jimmy G. I mean, Jimmy G, when he's been healthy, has been pretty darn productive and successful for the 49ers. His track record is good. So they, too, can be patient with playing Trey Lance.
Absolutely. And they have been, unlike the Packers, they have been very transparent with Jimmy G. He's not upset. I mean, if anyone should be upset, it should be Jimmy G. I mean, the 49ers gave up a bounty long before the draft to trade up to the number three spot. If I'm Jimmy G, I'm like, a gulp. But he's not, because the organization was up front with him. And they said, as long as you are continuing to be productive, as you have been for us when you're on the field, you're our guy. We are not telling Trey Lance he's guaranteed to be the starter in 2021. We like you, Jimmy. We like what you've done for us. You know, the issue is his durability. I mean, he's and his ability to be on the field, and he's not. But as long they're going to go, my gut is they're going to go with Jimmy G as long as he can be productive.
Well, and to add to that, when you think about it, Justin Fields is probably more pro-ready than Trey Lance at this point.
Sure.
And so Trey Lance has more developmental time required, and they've got a better starter in
FCS
Jimmy G.
FCS versus FBS competition, first and foremost.
That's right. Yeah. The level of competition is certainly a big differentiator between those two. And interestingly, the 49ers have a team that's built to win now. They're not a developmental team. And the idea that a rookie Trey Lance could step into that team and lead them to a Super Bowl, I think, is fantasy. Jimmy G is probably more equipped to win games in the here and now. And with that supporting cast and the expectations of that team, they really need to win here and now. They have a lot of the pieces to make a deep playoff run.
No, they do. And, you know, they had those pieces last year as well. But they got not only bit by the injury bug, they were decimated by the injury bug. And then the next man up was decimated by the injury bug. It was one of the worst seasons I've ever seen as far as injuries go. But I think what it really says, and I think the Texans and the Packers need to listen to this and learn, be transparent with your guy, especially your franchise guy that you have under center. Because now, not only do you have Jimmy G that's totally okay, at least publicly, that they've taken Trey Lance, number three overall, and gave up everything for him, he's also very willing and has said it. I look forward to mentoring this young guy. Mm. Like, I mean, it's not only, okay, I'm not going to be a brat about it. It's I'm embracing this, like Alex Smith did with Patrick Mahomes. That's the way to run an organization, and that's a way to not lose 20 steps when your main guy moves on, whether it's to injury, retirement, or a trade. So learn from that, Green Bay. Brian Gutekunst, Nick Caserio, learn from it. That's how you do it. It's called transparency.
All right, the Patriots drafting Mac Jones, number 15 overall. They've got Cam Newton, the starter. And Bill Belichick is not the kind of guy who would rush a rookie out onto the field. I think Cam Newton starts probably at least halfway through that season. And then if Mac Jones is really developing and Cam Newton struggling, that would be Mac Jones' opportunity somewhere about halfway through the year.
I think this is a beautiful situation. And I did not like Mac Jones in the top five. I love where he went at 15. I mean, he is a really cerebral guy. He's been brought up in a great system. He had tons of pieces around him, but he saw the speed of an NFL defense, the closest you can get in college, mm-hmm. you know, playing in the SEC and playing for Alabama. I think Bill Belichick is a very fair guy. He's blunt, he's serious, but he's very fair. And he saw, hey, Cam didn't cost us much. This guy is a former MVP. He took a team to the Super Bowl. I gave him nothing last year. Half of our defensive line opted out because of COVID. I didn't have weapons for him. It's only fair to give him a chance. We've got him on the cheap. I'd like Mac Jones. I mean, he is my type of guy. Like, he's a pocket passer. He is a snap taker.
He's the future of that team.
He is the future of the team. But I love that Belichick, I think what he's going to do is really give Cam a chance because, you know, Patriots win the shopping spree. They were Home Shopping Network in the offseason. I mean, they bought more than anybody in the free agent market. So they've now got pieces that were severely lacking. I really do think he's going to give Cam a chance and then hopefully be able to bring Mac Jones up slowly. But yes, I do believe he's the future of the franchise there.
The Patriots have the pieces now with the free agent shopping spree and then the opt-outs returning. I think they've got a lot of talent on that team. Quarterback is a question mark. How far can a Cam Newton or Mac Jones take them this year? Last quarterback I want to talk about, drafted at the top of the third round, the Texans pick up.
Oh boy.
Yes, Davis Mills of Stanford, and he's a guy who David Shaw said if he'd had another half season or a season under his belt, he might have gone as a top five pick. So their physical tools are there. He's got some talent. Texans take him. Texans presumably will not have Deshaun Watson next year. He's either going to be traded or suspended for a good chunk of the season. So they have Tyrod Taylor as starter week one. Davis Mills, though, is someone they need to see this year.
Yeah, no, I think they will. It's the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be winning. But here it is. I mean, the Texans are going to have a very high draft pick next year. They may go down in history as the first team to lose 17 games in a regular season.
I mean, unless they've given it away, I'm not sure that they have a first round pick.
Oh no, they got so they are okay, poised. Good. They have the.
No.
They'll have their own pick, which might be the number one pick overall. Certainly a top three pick, unless lightning strikes and something radical happens. And then they'll have whatever draft capital they get for trading Deshaun Watson. So they'll have the capital to get their quarterback of the future. It might be a Spencer Rattler next year. So they need to see if Davis Mills is the guy. So I think they've got to get him on the field sometime during the course of this year, 4 to 5 games at least, to get a look at what he looks like in real-time NFL competition.
I think that's the reason that Davis Mills slipped to the third round, because out of high school, he was one of the top recruits in the nation. And what happened at Stanford, he got stuck behind a depth chart that he really couldn't move from with K.J. Costello, well, Kelly Christ first, and then K.J. Costello, and then Davis Mills had his own set of injuries. But so he's had 11 collegiate games. I mean, the guy can move outside of the pocket. He's very disciplined. He's very cerebral. He's a beautiful pocket passer. He can be really great. It's just there's not a lot of, you know, much like Trey Lance, not a lot of film on him, not a lot of experience on him. And he did it during his senior COVID season. But he looked great. So,
I really like that pick for the Texans.
I do, too.
It met both need and talent. And to get him in the third round, I think, was pretty good value.
Do you think the message was sent, though, that Deshaun is not coming back? Do you think the Texans actually will trade Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think it's an open question. Let's address that when we come back. Okay. Actually, when we come back, we're going to first get a chance to visit with Britt Giroli. Britt Giroli is an MLB writer for The Athletic. She is very savvy on all things Major League Baseball, and we're going to ask her what team has been the biggest surprise at this point here in the MLB season. Britt Giroli next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on the Sports Map Radio Network on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We have Britt Giroli. She is the senior MLB writer for The Athletic. Britt, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hi, how are you guys?
Well, we are great and delighted to have you with us because we need some insights on the MLB. Tell us, who's been your biggest surprise this far in the year?
Player or team?
Let's go team.
Team? I'm going to go with the Kansas City Royals. I think what they have is sustainable. I think the AL Central is a highly winnable division. I know they just dropped out of first, but they held that position for most of the season so far. And, you know, you look at the Central, you look at the way the Twins have underperformed. The White Sox have had some injuries. And I don't think Cleveland has the offense to hold up. I like Kansas City. I think they're a young, fun team, reminiscent of those good Royals teams from 14 and 15.
Britt, welcome in. And I want to ask you, player, who's been your surprise player so far this year?
I think there's been, you can make a case probably for a lot of guys. Ron Acuña Jr., though, I think, I don't want to say surprised people because everyone knows he's good. He's a top young talent. He's one of the stars of the game. But I think what he's doing right now, the first big leaguer to hit 10 home runs, a guy who's clearly established himself as an early front runner for National League MVP. The Braves have gotten off to a pretty rough start. They did have a really big series sweep in D.C., and I just think that Acuña has become TV.
Yeah, that's a great one. I want to ask, too, talking about surprise player, John Means, a pitcher for the Orioles. I mean, he seems to make, to me, I'm excited to tune in to Baltimore because of him. I mean, he just had Major League Baseball's third no-hitter this season. Talk about the impact of John Means and where you see his season going so far.
Yeah, well, I guess I watched the Orioles a little too much living here in Maryland. So to me, he's not a surprise. He's been pitching well since last year, dating back to last September. And he lost his dad in August, and he's really been on an incredible run since then. People forget his rookie year in 19. He was an all-star. So to me, he's not this big out-of-nowhere surprise. He's a guy who's been consistently good and been consistently written off by college programs. He wasn't recruited by any D1 schools. He's not a guy who made the top 50 in a lot of starting pitcher rankings to start this season. So you know, I think what he's done is, like you said, he's made Baltimore exciting. At least once every 5 days, you want to tune in. You want to watch. That changeup has been incredible. And just watching that outing, which really was a hair from a perfect game, pounding the strike zone, being able to really change the dynamic, I think it's cool. There hasn't been a lot to cheer about in Baltimore over the last few years, a really tough rebuild. But John Means and Trey Mancini are certainly two guys to cheer for.
We're talking to Britt Drolley. She is an MLB writer for The Athletic. You can read her on athletic.com. So I want to ask you about the Astros' reception in New York. They were rudely welcomed. What was your reaction to what you saw?
Not surprised. I think that fans have waited a while to be able to react to the Astros. I think as the stadiums grow bigger and bigger, as the COVID numbers go down, you're starting to get more atmosphere that's akin to 2019. So none of that really surprised me. There's still some team members there of that team. So to me, it was fun. It reminded me of normalcy. And I'm glad it happened. I thought it was a really exciting series. And I think being where we are in only, early May, I think we've seen a lot of really exciting baseball series. And that's really cool for the sport.
I agree with you, Britt. It has been exciting. It's been fun. Now I want to talk about, God bless him, Tony La Russa making headlines again this week. Like, I have loved that guy since his days in Oakland and on to St. Louis. How bad of a look is it that he did not know about the extra inning rules in regards to pitchers? And where was his bench coach to guide him through that?
Yeah, well, I'm going to disagree with you. I think he was fine. He had a time and a place. Obviously a really good manager, but he never should have been hired in the first place.
Agreed. I do agree with that.
It was very clear players, people in that organization, not really sure why he got that job. Then, of course, the owner of the White Sox stepping in and saying Tony La Russa is going to be our guy, and you're seeing it. You saw it in spring training. People just weren't paying attention quite as much. He was leaving pitchers in too long. He was making mistakes, and that was in spring training. So none of this surprises me. It's unfortunate that it's overshadowing what is a White Sox team full of some really great talent and an up-and-coming team for sure that has dealt with some unfortunate injuries, but it just can't happen. It seems like he's dominated the early storyline, right. And if the White Sox don't go where people think they should go in the postseason, Tony La Russa is going to get a lot of the blame, as he should.
Interesting times there. Britt, I really appreciate your joining us. That's Britt Drolley. You can read her on The Athletic. She covers all things MLB there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at not the Aaron Rodgers trade, but another trade that needs to happen in the NFL. There's another big-name quarterback who should be traded on June the 1st. We'll look at that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
That was short.
We will do that. We will do that when we come back, but I do need to show you that it will be Deshaun Watson because Aaron Rodgers is getting all the love, but on June 1st, there's a neat cutoff moment, right? The Texans can trade him on June 1st and save a lot of dollars on the cap this year. If they trade him before June 1st, the full cap hits. So we'll look at why the Texans have waited and why June 1st is the moment when Deshaun Watson should be traded and the Texans will have to rebuild their organization. That up next when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Keeping your car clean is simple with inexpensive maintenance that can keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted services, as well as interior care products for leather and vinyl, carpet, and upholstery. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month. And their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, Aaron Rodgers is getting the headlines. He presumably will be traded, but Deshaun Watson is still out there, and there really doesn't seem to be much of a future between Deshaun Watson and his team, the Houston Texans. The Texans were rumored to be in a position to trade him right before the draft. That deal obviously did not happen.
They were not going to trade him. Well, that is a smokescreen.
But now they got to trade him. I mean, what's different now? I mean, the one difference and the one reason to wait is money. If you wait till after June 1st, you don't have to take the full cap charge this season. You can spread it over two seasons. You can push that cap charge problem down the road. But honestly, given the Texans and their outlook for this season, it's questionable why you would care to push it down the road. Why not take your bitter pill medicine now? But the Texans are probably going to wait till after June 1st. At that point, possibly, the NFL will have rendered their suspension or their punishment on Deshaun, and let's call it, say, six games. Then presumably the team that's going to pick him up will have visibility into how long he will be out. And so you could have that visibility. You could have the cap working out better for the Texans. I think that there's a chance that, yeah, Deshaun is picked up, traded for by someone like the Broncos, someone like the Redskins or the Washington football team, someone who still needs that franchise
Miami,
quarterback.
Frankly.
That Miami deal is not, I guess, done yet, is it?
I don't think it's done. I mean, they're sticking with Tua, and they, you know, they had a great season last year, and you think that, you know, they could reunite him with Will Fuller. It's a great system for him. Brian Flores is a great coach for him. And, you know, the NFL, sadly, very forgiving.
Well, look, with his talent level, once you know, once there's a cap on what the punishment will be, right. So if you can get your read that it's going to be six games or four games or eight games, if you know what that is and you can plan accordingly, then sure, go ahead. I mean, you go back to the Dolphins. Well, whomever it is needs to have another quarterback. So if it were the Broncos, great. They've got Drew Lock right there. They've got Teddy Bridgewater. Those guys can man the ship until Deshaun Watson comes up. Now, maybe one of those gets traded back to get Deshaun, but it really feels like somebody just got to have a bridge quarterback for half a season, and then Deshaun can come in and do his thing.
Exactly. And that's the same situation, actually, in Miami. And also, in, you mentioned the Washington football team. I mean, they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick,
yep,
who is clearly a placeholder everywhere he goes.
Yep.
For the next, and he's a great placeholder. He's fantastic.
So the Texans, in return, would want, obviously, a bounty of picks. They're building for the future.
Well, good luck now.
Well, so his value is certainly diminished. But if you could say, well, Deshaun's only going to miss eight games, then you get Deshaun Watson. I mean, then you got to create a marketplace if you're the Texans. Texans will have, as we talked about, probably a top three pick next year, which is their own pick in the draft. Then they'll get whatever they get with Deshaun Watson. The interesting thing is they'll get a, here's the problem with Aaron Rodgers when he gets traded, and say he were to get traded that right around the June 1st date as well, wherever he goes, that team almost immediately becomes a contender, likely goes deep into the playoffs, and so their first-round picks are not particularly valuable because they're late in the first round. Deshaun, if he gets traded to the Washington football team, probably doesn't get to start or have an impact on that team's record until
later in the season.
So that pick, that first-round pick of that team might be more valuable to the Texans than what the Packers can get from wherever they trade Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, in theory, you are right. The reality is it's the Texans. And let me give you an example. I mean, we were touting them in the earlier segment for taking their first pick of the draft was third round, number 67. They took the quarterback out of Stanford, Davis Mills.
Yep.
Yes, great pick. I've gotten to see him personally play. Yes, fantastic pick. Not much film on him, but I thought that was a really good move by the Texans. But then they had to go, don't worry, Carla, we're still the Texans. So they got their next pick, which was the wide receiver out of Michigan, Nico Collins. And what did they do for Nico Collins? They traded a fourth-round draft pick, a fifth-round selection, and a 2022 fourth-round draft pick for Carolina's 89th pick overall to take Nico Collins.
Yeah, that was a lot of draft capital to move up
there. That's three draft picks when the Texans need personnel. And this is the last thing they should be doing. I think Nico Collins is a good receiver. Do I think he is worth all that draft capital they just gave up? No.
It's sort of interesting because in the free agent market, Nick Caserio, the general manager, has been signing everybody. He's been playing the quantity game versus the quality game because we are hard-pressed to name whom he's signed.
Trying to copy Bill Belichick's shopping spree?
Well,
let's think about
that. He's not getting that kind of talent. I mean,
no.
Bill Belichick got some really good names on that team.
He's an imposter. Like they all try and do out of New England is trying
right.
to recreate that, reinvent that wheel,
right.
and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Oy, it's a tough one. And then we've got Cal saying that he's
Cal McNair,
predicting
owner Cal of McNair, the Texans, yep.
owner of the Texans, says we're going to have a packed NRG Stadium for 2021 season.
Well, that is a pipe dream. I mean, the amazing thing about the Texans. And I give a lot of credit to the former president, Jamie Roots,
is
that every game of the Texans since inception has been sold out. Mm-hmm. And the team has really struggled on the field, 4-12 teams many times, 2-14 teams, and yet they sold out. The fandom in Houston, Texas is rabid. The tailgating experience is rich. The crowd turns out. The sellouts happen. But this year, no, I think that streak is broken. There's so much disenchantment about the way this offseason has unfolded. Deshaun's unhappiness with the team, and now, of course, Deshaun has his other issues, and just the lack of communication, the PR, the Easterby role, it is a really, really tough PR stretch. J.J. Watt is gone. There's so many things you could look at over the last 18 months, really, that have put the Texans in a deep PR hole.
And not to mention, the team's not competitive. They're coming off a 4-12 season where their flashy, incredible quarterback set all kinds of records. But now they're going into a 2021 season with no Will Fuller, no Deshaun Watson, no J.J. Watt, a bunch of no names. Admit it or not, you're in a rebuild. Rebuilds are a losing product usually and a boring product. Good luck to you, Cal. Woo.
All right, at the other end of the spectrum, look, there's no hope for the Texans right now, but there's a whole lot of hope.
But just admit you're rebuilding. Just
oh yeah, it's a rebuild for sure. At the other end of the spectrum, the hype, the excitement for the Cleveland Browns is starting again. And you know, we've seen this now. It really started 2 years ago when Mayfield was there and OBJ arrived and everybody was
cover of Sports Illustrated, they're going to the Super
Bowl. That was 2 years ago, and that was overhyped. But they've been picking up pieces each year that seemingly position them for a better future. And last year, of course, they got to the playoffs. They had a playoff victory. They really did deliver to some degree. And Baker Mayfield has had his moments.
He's had his moments. And, you know, like we talked about earlier today in the show, he is the only quarterback that has embraced being a Cleveland Brown
yes.
from the get-go.
He loves
so
Cleveland.
He has won the love of that city. I mean, he is in and it doesn't really matter what he does. He's already taken them to the playoffs last year, an 11-5 season, beat their rival Pittsburgh Steelers, and first playoff appearance since 2002. He is their second coming.
Well, you know, he loves to play with a chip on his shoulder.
Totally. That's how
he's disrespected. But that's sort of where the Browns have been. They have had a chip on their shoulder. They have always been beaten up. They are the ones that no one gives any consideration to. At least that was the case for a long time, but no longer, because a lot of people are pretty optimistic about the Cleveland Browns. Their draft was pretty strong.
It was a great draft, I thought.
They added some great pieces to a pretty good team right now. I like what they did in the first round. Greg Newsom, maybe the third best corner. Certainly Surtain and Horn were the two best corners. Caleb Farley, if healthy, would have been number three. Sure. But because of his health issues, yeah, Greg Newsom might have been the third best corner, and the Browns got him in the first round.
They got a steal in the second round with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the inside linebacker out of Notre Dame.
I'm so glad you said his name and that I didn't have to say it.
I like it. It's such a cool name, Owusu-Koramoah.
I love the way you say that. It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I mean, he should have been easily a first rounder or top of the second round, but you know, there were some medical concerns, possibly heart concerns, that ended up not panning out, but it allowed him to drop in the draft for Cleveland.
Well, look at what that does for the defense. Newsom in the first round, he goes in the second. And remember, Greedy Williams, their cornerback from last year, is coming back from injury. So they've got some pieces in that defensive backfield. And then later in the second round, they took the fastest player in the draft, Anthony Schwartz. That felt a little bit like a luxury pick, but you add him to that receiving core, and he might be able to stretch the field and open up some lanes. OBJ is coming back from injury. Jarvis Landry. Yeah, the pieces are there. They also drafted an offensive tackle, James Hudson, in the fourth round, and he's a guy who might really fortify the offensive line.
I mean, there's decisions to make. Baker's contract is coming up. You have to decide. I am sure the Browns will pay him franchise quarterback money, but I don't know that his performance actually deserves that kind of money. It's a bit risky, but, you know, they're probably going to do it because he's beloved. He's absolutely beloved.
Well, they really can't let him walk, given what he's done and the investment they've already made.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting to let him walk. It's just tough. He's going to want to be paid Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Aaron Rodgers type of money.
Well, he's in that spot. He's an above-average quarterback, I guess, right now.
But I wouldn't say elite.
No, he's not elite. Certainly hasn't demonstrated that level. But the problem is when your contract moment comes up, there's that expectation that, yeah, you're going to set the new standard or at least be paid amongst the elite. And, yeah, to do that for Baker based on his body of work at this point is really an aggressive move.
It is. It's a risk.
Mm.
And I know they've got new GM and Andrew Berry in there. And is it Andrew Berry? I can't remember. That might be wrong. But they do have a new GM as of last year. And so it'll be interesting to see how he handles this. He seems like a really level-headed guy.
Listen, they have put a lot of pieces on. And Jadeveon Clowney, we'll see what they get out of him, but he was their big free agent signing.
That's right. They've got Clowney.
They pair Clowney and Myles Garrett on the two outside defensive end spots. I don't know. We'll see. That team, maybe they're worth the hype this year, but they'll probably go as far as Baker Mayfield can take them.
Andrew Berry. It was right.
All right. Just Andrew Berry in this hot seat.
Yes. GM of the Browns.
He's got some big decisions to make. All right. When we return, we're going to have, I think it's almost a new feature. It should be, for whom will we light up a cigar? Smoke cigar.
I like it. Who are we going to celebrate?
We're going to celebrate somebody, because we all know when we light up a cigar, we're celebrating something, and we're going to celebrate somebody.
It's symbolic.
When we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, I need a new feature here for The Boss and The Gloss, and it is, for whom do we light up a cigar? And it's going to be sponsored by Famous Smoke Shop. Do you want a good cigar? Go to a good cigar shop. Want the best cigar? You got to go to Famous Smoke Shop. Famous Smoke Shop delivers your favorite cigar right to your door at America's best prices. Famous Smoke Shop has 80 years experience. Go to famoussmoke.com and choose from over 8,000 brands. Everything from an everyday smoke to the high-end brands. And now when you go to Famous Smoke, you get 20% off on your purchase of $99 or more when you check out using the promo code 24U. That's 20 and the letters F-O-R-Y-O-U. Famous Smoke Shop at famoussmoke.com. All right, in this feature, we each get to pick somebody for whom we want to light up a cigar, because cigars are a celebratory moment. I'm going to pick Jose Altuve. It was his birthday yesterday. He was facing the Yankees. The fans were unruly. They were yelling expletives at the Astros, and Altuve went out and hit a home run. I light up a cigar from Famous Smoke Shop for Jose Altuve.
A three-run homer to take the win.
On his
Pretty
birthday.
Nice.
On his birthday.
Not bad.
All right, Ron, for whom do you light up a cigar?
Well, I'm going to, because if we're doing a celebratory mood,
yeah.
I got an email across, and it was that the Hall of Fame is hosting Roger Goodell's leather chair.
Yeah.
I'm not really in the celebratory mood for that, unless we were to accidentally drop the cigar in said chair and just let it have its demise.
Let it burn, baby.
Hey, that chair looks like a chair you could sit back and have a good smoke.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if you'd want to, though. You'd need a lot of disinfectant, a lot of rears sat in that chair.
You need a tub of towels.
A lot of fanatics were in that chair.
You'd probably need tubs of towels.
Yeah.
But I'm going to light up a cigar for somebody else.
Okay.
And that's Phil Mickelson.
Oh.
Who, at the age of 50, has proven that he still has it. He is currently one shot off the lead at the Wells Fargo Championship happening right now. He was in the lead.
Stop your big bad self.
Yeah, he was in the lead yesterday after the first round, shot 7 under 64.
Wow.
Very nice.
A Famous Smoke cigar for Phil. What about you, Carla?
Okay. My cigar is going to Drew Robinson, former Major League Baseball player who came up through the Rangers system, just made the opening day roster for the Giants AAA affiliate 13 months after attempting to take his own life that left him without a right eye following a gunshot wound. Unbelievable story. Major League Baseball, you're getting it right. I love the story of redemption.
All right, we light up a cigar for him, and you can get your own cigar, a Famous Smoke Shop cigar, at famoussmoke.com. Go there and enter promo code 24U. That's 20 and the letters FORYOU. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Boston of the Glass. You've been listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.